Fargo, the new virtual assistant from Wells Fargo, makes banking faster and easier. Like this.
Fargo, what's my checking account routing number?
And this.
Fargo, turn off my debit card.
And this.
Fargo, what did I spend on groceries last month?
And that's just the beginning. Do you, Fargo? You can. In the Wells Fargo mobile app. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/getFargo.
Terms and conditions apply. Your mobile carrier's availability and message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank NA, member FDIC.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Today's show is brought to you by Scampervan. Scampervan is a revolutionary new service that brings everything you need to camp right to your front door. The Scampervan service delivers camper vans that are fully stocked with all the supplies you need to get through just about any adventure with ease. Up to four people can comfortably sleep in the van, which includes sink, fridge, dining table, and hot water. Here's the deal, folks. If you're like me, you're not really the camping type, but you want to get outdoors, you want to get outside the city, this thing is for you. They take all the trouble out of camping if you're not, you know, the G.I. Joe type, which I'm not. You can also get additional gear for rental. You want to get some stand-up paddle boards, kayaks, mountain bikes, they'll supply all that stuff for you. If cooking's an issue, the team will even come up with a menu and stock the van with groceries before delivery. You got to check this out. It's an awesome way to get away for the weekend. That's scampervan.com. Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Mappy Davis. On today's episode, Karen from Tiny Doors. Now, I would say that Karen is, in many ways, I think I'll say this a lot, but in many ways, the ideal guest for this program. Forgot about our wonderful tagline. The Atlanta Podcast, where we speak with the famous, Atlanta famous, infamous, or just about anybody that I find interesting. Now, Karen, I think, goes under Atlanta famous. Probably not known much outside of here. I mean, she probably has had lots of written about her, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not dissing her, but you get what I'm saying. She's in the realm of Atlanta famous. So I knew about Tiny Doors. I didn't know a lot about it, but I knew it was a cool thing that we had, and I knew it was this cool thing that this person invented, and I said, why don't I get her on the program, and let's learn about her. So we're going to dive right in and talk to Karen. Away we go.
Testing, testing.
And we're off.
Okay.
Isn't this exciting?
This is so exciting.
Welcome to Alkaloid co-working on the Beltline. That's all. That's our Wi-Fi password.
It's nice to be here. I'm enjoying the view.
Of?
The brick wall.
So this is one. Look at that, though.
Oh, yeah.
This actually belongs to, I should give their company a plug, but I can't remember the name of it. They're programmers or coders or whatever the heck they do. And this place has plenty of conference rooms and you can sit outside. I just thought we'd pull in here today because it's a nice big conference room.
Yeah, this is great. I'm super happy for this space.
Okay. So where are you from?
I'm from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah? Go Big Blue?
Sure.
You don't care?
Yeah, no, I don't care. I went to a small liberal arts high school.
Okay.
In the middle of downtown Ann Arbor.
Okay.
Do
your friends say Go Big Blue?
No. I've never actually heard Go Big Blue. I've only heard Go Blue.
Oh, I thought they said...
I don't know if it's big.
I thought it's one of those like isn't it like one of those, like only like five or six actual college themes, and that's for Michigan.
It's just Go Blue.
But I thought it's just, bear with me for a second. I thought it's, we're going to have to pull this up on the phone.
Do it.
Da, 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 da,
hail
da,
to the victors.
Da, uh-huh. And at the end. Da, 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 da,
the da. Leaders and the best.
Go Blue. It's not, yeah. Go Big Blue.
Right.
Yeah. Damn it. Go Big. Who says Go Big Blue?
I don't know.
Just type in Go Big Blue and see what comes up. Because now I'm curious. It's Google challenge.
I went to an art high school.
I know, but now we got to know.
Okay.
Now we've got to know. For those that don't know, by the way, we're talking about the University of Michigan, which is in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah.
Which...
some people, I guess, at University of Michigan. Go Big Blue, University of Kentucky.
There you go. There, Go Big Blue.
All right.
There you go.
We're, I knew
somebody did. Do you know the name of the mascot for Kentucky?
No.
Begins with a W?
No.
Wildcats.
Wildcats.
So for those that who are just as clueless about sports as Karen is, it's the Wolverines of Michigan.
The Wolverines of Michigan. So, yeah, I'm not clueless about all sports. I learned the NFL teams, mm-hmm. quarterbacks and colors, and some rules. I made flashcards and learned
that. Did you have a mate that wanted you to know about football?
Yes. I still do. Same one. I wanted to join the football pool that she was in, and so I made flashcards.
Have you seen the movie Diner?
No.
There's a famous thing in the movie Diner where he is a sports fan, and particularly a Baltimore Colts fan, because that's where the movie takes place, and he gives his wife a quiz, and if she doesn't pass, the wedding is off.
Oh, well, that seems a little extreme.
Of course it is, but it's
kind of a favor that I did. I learned it as a gesture.
No, but it's like sort of this classic funny
thing. I could see that. I'm kind of a football sociopath, right? I don't have any allegiances to the teams. I just go based on numbers. So I did really well because I don't care.
And that is what sports has become,
mm-hmm.
because it's what made, like, typically I might not care about Tampa Bay and Carolina, but if my quarterback and my tight end are in that game, I'm watching intently.
Right.
But some of us get hung up in but I do really like this team because they're my home team.
Yeah.
If you don't even have that, I think that's a great way to be, because that's the way to, that is the way to play stocks and gamble in general,
is to not have emotion. Yeah. There's someone in our pool who, she picks the winner of each game. That's how we do. It's not a fantasy football league. It's
okay.
Just pick the winner of each game, and she picks based on the mascot.
Right.
So she has to decide whether like a raven would beat a falcon.
Right.
You know, and like, it's always interesting when the dolphins are playing.
Because
nobody else is in the ocean.
Right.
So like if a dolphin was on land, it would lose.
Right.
But if a lion was in the water,
he might drown.
He might lose too. So if like the lions and the dolphins are playing, then it's tough.
I think ESPN should pick up this segment.
So it's interesting to see like creatives and people who don't necessarily care about football in a football pool trying to choose the winner.
Is it what we call a confidence pool where you have a certain amount of points on each game?
No. You just choose. You choose the winner of each game, and then
isn't there a lot of ties?
Win or lose. No. At the very end for the Monday night game, you choose the points. And so sometimes it goes to points if.
But I'm saying in any given week, you and I could both have 10 wins.
Right. So then it would go to points for the winner of the week.
Of the week, it goes for the Monday night.
Right.
All right. Because sometimes what I like is what's called a confidence pool. So let's say the Falcons are playing the Raiders, and you were really positive the Falcons are going to beat the Raiders. You put 16 points on that one.
I would take it. Okay.
The next one, 15. The next one, 14.
Yeah.
So you're not messing with the line. You know what the line is, right?
Right.
So you're not even messing with that. You're just going straight up.
Straight up.
But a confidence pool, meaning who do you have more confidence in? That way you don't get a lot of ties that way, because
confidence. Yeah, no.
Because everybody's
got. We get a lot of ties.
Right.
We have to just like go to points.
Is this an all female team, an all artist team or league?
It was all female with one. We all have nicknames. They call me Tiny. I don't know why. And then there was one man whose nickname was Dong, because it was funny, because.
Because he's a dude.
He's the only dude in the league.
So call him Dong.
We just call him Dong. Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. All women. All professional women. I think I'm the only full-time artist in the league. But other people are vice presidents of universities, et cetera.
That kind of thing?
Yeah.
So how did you make your way down here?
My partner founded Girls Rock Camp. She's from here. And she literally came and got me from New Jersey. I graduated from Rutgers in 2013.
Go big.
I mean, enough with. Okay, so I only was in the stadium for Rutgers when I graduated.
I know, but right. But I'm trying to Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knights.
Yes.
Nice.
So what do you guys say? Go. Do you say go anything? Go Knights. Go SK.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't put my phone on mute because I'm bad at this. Yeah. So the Scarlet Knights went Big Ten. I don't know what we say. Rutgers is one.
They're
of the
Big Ten?
Yes. And they went Big Ten the year after I graduated.
College, it's so fucked up. It's all about all about money. It's such garbage.
It is, but it was great for me money-wise because I paid Rutgers tuition the year before they went Big Ten. So now I have a Big Ten degree at not Big Ten price. Which
do you know if they're league or legends, or do they get rid of that?
I have no idea. But I read an article this morning about if your Big Ten football team were a Game of Thrones character, who would it be? And Rutgers was Tyrion Lannister.
I'm far more into the Big Ten than I am Game of Thrones.
Oh, I am so more into Game of Thrones. I learned more about Big Ten from that article than anything else.
Is there another show we can discuss that I might enjoy? Because I'm unfortunately not. Certain trains you don't get on.
Game of Thrones train, not for you.
I'll probably get around to it. I've got small children.
Yeah.
Well, let me scratch that. They're not so small. When they were small, we could watch a lot of TV because they went to bed early. Now two of them are 8 and 10. Mm-hmm. So the whole house doesn't get quiet till around 9.
Right.
And then we're in bed by 10:30. So it's like not a lot of TV watching. So we can watch an episode.
Game of Thrones is on from 9 to 10.
No, but I'm saying now we've got to dive in like 5 seasons back and all that business.
Yeah.
Like we just watched Ozark. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I didn't watch the last couple episodes because I got bored.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, spoiler alert for those that are listening, but we won't spoil because you have to finish it. It definitely ended way better than it began. It's one of those, the first two, I was like not having it and probably would have stopped by my buddy Rob here.
Right.
Said, hang in. And I did. And it got a lot better. Okay, stakes got higher.
All right. I'll keep watching.
But no, please do watch the last two.
Okay. Yeah. You know what I do is as a working artist, so I spend a lot of time in my studio. I need to spend 2 hours not near a computer for every hour I spend near a computer or I am cranky.
Right.
Across the board. I have learned this about myself. So in the studio, I have 3 desks in a U shape. One has a computer, the other two don't. And I work on those and I'll put something, some sound on the computer I don't have to look at the screen to understand. So there are a few shows that have the same exact cast in every episode that I can listen to and understand because the voices are different. Animated shows, King of the Hill is really good for that. The Office is great because it's exactly the same people in every season, pretty much, until you get into Will Ferrell, and he's pretty distinctive. And then...
what about Robert California?
Oh my God, Robert California. Oh, he's the Donald Trump of The Office. 30 Rock also, I listen to a lot.
It's interesting, you're mentioning like I haven't watched quote-unquote sitcoms or regular television mm-hmm. for 100 years, and you mentioned like I actually watched The Office and then 30 Rock, which I believe came up on another episode. I talked to the Dragon Con guy. Are you a Dragon Con person?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't gone, but I appreciate it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. So we talked about that. I actually caught 30 Rock from day one.
Yeah.
And I actually hung in there for all 7 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's, I think, one of the few... I mean, The Office, I feel like that's an easy one because everyone was kind of on that train because it was
Office.
So good.
Yeah.
Even though at first I was like, how are you possibly going to touch this British piece of genius? But it found its way into its own.
Yeah. And I have been through it, I think, 5 times, all of it, listening to it while I'm working.
I've been through the English version a couple of times. I've only been through American versions once. And dare I name drop, I know Rainn Wilson. And hopefully we'll get him one day on this
awesome.
Program. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be so great.
Yeah.
And I love 30 Rock. So I really don't look at the screen very often.
And what are you doing? What are you physically doing while these programs are on?
So I'm physically making art with my hands. I'm physically making, I make tiny mascots. I just did one for the Atlanta Science Festival. They have a pink astronaut. I made them a tiny pink astronaut for photo shoots, for whatever they need it for. I made a tiny Bookzilla for the Decatur Book Festival. And then I do doors, of course. That's my job. I make tiny doors. But my studio is 8x8, so everything I make in there is pretty small.
What is this room?
This room is probably 12 by 10.
Okay, so slightly smaller than this?
A lot smaller than this.
Yeah. So you have three desks in a U-shape.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you sleep?
My bed.
Is there a bed in there?
So that's just my studio where I make art. I don't do anything else in there except make art.
Got it.
But I, for instance, have a lantern that I made for the Beltline Lantern Parade that has its own shelf up near the ceiling because it is the largest thing in the studio that isn't a desk.
Got it.
And it's not very big.
At home, do you watch on a regular TV or a computer screen?
I guess we have regular TVs, but I am more of a listener than a watcher.
Fascinating. I'm quite the opposite. I can't even work with music in my headphones. If music is, I almost said ambient. If music is ambient, mm-hmm. I can sort of background get into that. But if I put like a podcast or music in my ears, I couldn't read an email line because I'd start reading the email and the
Well, that's what I mean is I'm not reading. I'm not writing. I'm just working.
Just creating.
Right. I'm just working with my hands. And so having a story going in the background is actually really helpful because otherwise I get kind of hyper focused.
You're not tempted when there's a physical gag to go, what was that? When they just laugh.
No. And that's the other thing. They're all shows that I've watched through a couple times or listened to. I know the gag. I know that it's hilarious. And I can just like, I don't have to look at it.
That's fascinating to me.
It's odd, but I do it. I've done it a lot. In college, I made sculptural cakes for money as a side gig. And I listened to King of the Hill obsessively while I was making cakes.
Can you do any King of the Hill voices for the listeners?
I can't, but at my college graduation party, I had a band and they played the King of the Hill theme song for me, which was pretty
cool. You can't even do what's his name? What's the easy one?
You do it if it's so easy.
I don't even watch that show. Hey, kids. I don't know. Is that what he says?
Oh, Hank?
Is that what he says?
Yeah. No, I'm not. Mike Judge is so good. I don't think I could touch it.
Yeah. I never, honestly, maybe it's an age thing. That's the toilet.
Oh, the toilet.
Yeah. I don't know if that picks up on here. I don't think it does. I never got past like Simpsons, like King of the Hill and American Dad and Futurama and all those shows. I just never caught on.
Okay, so here's what's great about King of the Hill that isn't in American Dad, The Simpsons, or Family Guy. Peggy. Peggy Hill.
The wife?
The wife.
Played
by Kathy Najimy.
Okay.
I passed my King of the Hill quiz.
Yes.
She is a character that doesn't exist in any other animated show. It's very much this like patriarchal kind of like the sort of ugly buffoon dad and like the way too hot for him mom.
Right.
It's a really tired trope.
Of course.
So Peggy Hill dresses kind of like a man. Like there's this great episode where she meets a drag queen, but she doesn't know that this person is a drag queen. And she thinks, and he, the drag queen, thinks that Peggy is another drag queen because Peggy has giant feet and kind of walks that line.
Right.
And Peggy finds out that these drag queens want her clothes because no one else at a clothing swap wants her clothing.
Right.
But the man says to her, who do you think that drag queens impersonate? Strong women.
Right.
Strong women. And you are. And we want your clothes.
Ha.
And I thought that was cool. So Peggy Hill is not, she's a little like self-inflated. She calls it Spapeggy and meatballs. Like Apple Brown Peggy. You know, like she really is a character that doesn't exist anywhere else. And she is always interesting to me.
Right.
That's why King of the Hill is better, I think.
Interesting. No one has ever even mentioned that to me. It's just been, hey, kids, that's all I've ever.
Yeah, no, Hank's fine. The rest of them are fine. But Peggy is like, whoa, where did she come from? She's like a real kind of weird, awesome lady in a real relationship who isn't like,
right,
you know, this enigma, manic pixie dream girl wife that is in all the other animated shows.
Correct. So,
except for Bob's Burgers. I would venture to guess that they got a little better with the wife in Bob's Burgers, too.
Yeah, again, another show. I mean, like, I've seen all the like, whatever, like, at somebody's house if they had it on. You know what I mean? So I know that those shows are funny. Yeah. Like, I've been at somebody's house when Family Guy was on. They're like, let's watch it. And then I do. But again, like, I hate to be the old married guy, but time is super limited. And now it's like, mm-hmm. I can watch a show with my wife. And then when she goes to sleep a little bit before me, I can watch 30 minutes of something else to kind of knock me out. Lately, it's American Greed. Do you watch American Greed?
Nope.
Love that show. It's about greedy people, and they always get arrested in the end, and it's great.
That would give me nightmares. I think that's another reason.
Well, there's a lot of murder shows, and those can give me nightmares. Oh, and I was watching the prison shows for a while, but then those were creeping me out, so I had to stop watching those.
Oh, the prison shows are really creepy.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing. It's like, kind of, as a very creative visual person, I kind of have to be careful what I stuff in there during the day, because it'll haunt me. I get serious nightmares if I watch really creepy stuff.
What about Pixies? Do you really not want to talk about that?
No, we can talk about Pixies.
I couldn't tell if you were serious. I really couldn't.
Oh, about not wanting to talk about fairies and pixies and gnomes.
Right.
So here's the truth. I come from Ann Arbor, Michigan, where there are fairy doors. And they started, I want to say, between 10 and 13 years ago. And I was in a punk rock band. And like, I was out of high school. I dropped out of college to play bass in a punk rock band. Had a great time. Saw the country, didn't really pay a lot of attention to mainstream media, anything that was happening in my town. I was just kind of, you know, on a bus, in band practice, wherever I was. So the fairy doors came up at that time. And I've always been interested in public art and community engagement, and I was really interested in what they were doing, but I was kind of an observer, you know. And I liked watching people interact with these fairy doors, but I'm not a believer in fairies or pixies or anything like that. So, you know, punk rock band, then college, then Atlanta. And then I started thinking about it again. I was like, you know, that's kind of a good idea, this fairy door thing. But how do I make it fit my own interests? Because you have to maintain your own interest in your art or it's nothing. And how do I make it fit Atlanta? And that was where Tiny Doors came in. It was like, what if we make it urban and make it about the community and about reflecting the neighborhood? And if you believe in fairies and pixies, awesome. But you certainly don't have to. You can totally be a Tiny Door atheist and believe that it's epoxy, but still feel connected through social media, through knowing that you're looking at a door and someone in Cabbage Town is looking at a different one, and, you know, things like that.
So where was the first one?
Krog Tunnel. Yeah. I live by the Krog Tunnel. And it...
You live or lived?
Live. Still. Okay. Yeah. I live in Reynoldstown. So half the Krog Tunnel's ours.
I honestly kind of don't know where Cabbage Town ends and Reynoldstown begins.
At the Krog Tunnel.
Okay. Makes sense.
It's kind of the dividing line.
So that tunnel is painted a lot. So where, like outside, inside, like where was the...
So at first it's on the Reynoldstown, Cabbage Town facing side, not the DeKalb side. On the outside on a... What's that called?
Embankment? No.
Post. it was on the outside facing Wiley, and it moved recently when the Beltline came through. And this is kind of the coolest thing. The Beltline called me, because the first time they didn't call me.
Those fuckers.
I love them. I'll say nothing bad about the Beltline. They had a construction crew there, and how would they know what this was or why it was there? Here they are with all this art. You know, so they cracked it off and put it in the trash.
Is it art just because it's on a wall?
Good question. I'm not going to answer that. So
can we answer it later in the podcast?
You could try. So they cracked the door off the wall, and I had seen it. I look at it every day, like two or three times a day. So I saw it. I was on my way to Decatur. I came back and I kind of cricked my neck back to see it, and it was gone. And it had been there for 2.5 years. And I was like, what? So I got out of the car and I went and I talked to the construction guys, and I was trying to figure out how to say, where is the tiny door in Spanish?
Que eres el Doro?
Oh, at least no Puerto, right? So I was like, ¿dónde está la
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What did I say? You said donde está, which is where is. What did I say?
KS.
What is?
KS. Yeah, I'm not an expert at all. I was just trying to communicate. So I showed them a picture, and I was like, this is here, and he said, La Portita. And I was like, okay.
I don't know that word.
Well, tita usually means, they're making it small.
Right.
Small door. So I was like, okay, I followed him around, and he helped me communicate with other people, and they all said they didn't know where the door was. And then I gave them my phone number, and they laughed at me because I was a lady giving them my phone number. And then I drove away, and I got 3 blocks, and they called me. And they're like, actually, we have your door. Please come back. So I came back, and they gave me my door. And then I thanked them. I framed it. So now it goes to schools. It's going to KIPP Academy with me tomorrow on the Beltline. And then I put it back. But I had to wait for them. They moved the sidewalk up, which is why they cracked it off, because they had to move the sidewalk up 6 inches. So where it was doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, let's back up a shad.
Mm-hmm.
One paints a tiny door on the...
Sculpts.
Mm-hmm. A tiny door.
Mm-hmm.
On the Krog Street,
mm-hmm,
wall-ish. And then goes about life and says, this is my gift to the world, and if somebody posts it or tags it, I would love it, but this is my cool art to the world.
Okay, so what was the thought process there, and then what happened?
Sure.
So
how does one become known as,
as Tiny Doors ATL?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, you have to ask Atlanta, but I'll do my best.
Well, that's sort of, that's sort of the right why we're having you in here, sort of, right?
Sort of. Yeah. I thought it was to talk about sports, but
Eight. Well, listen, I'll be honest with you. Listen, we're talking here, so let's... Do you listen to a lot of podcasts?
Sometimes.
Okay, who do you listen to?
I like Dan Savage.
Okay. And anybody else?
Squishy Puss.
Don't know who that is.
Okay. He's here in Atlanta.
Oh, should I interview him?
Yes.
Is he Dan Savage-like?
No.
Okay.
He's an artist.
Okay. So, to me, what we're doing here,
mm-hmm,
like... It at the end of the day, if it's an engaging conversation, people will consume it. Like, there are a couple different ways to do a podcast show, right? One is this sort of conversational style that people like Marc Maron have been doing, or Tim Ferriss, or 100 other people that, like, hey, let's...
Well, Marc Maron's hilarious, and all his friends are hilarious.
Right, but he's gone far beyond his friends, right?
Right.
Because now we're in episode, like, 800. Another is the kind I don't like, which is two or three people sitting around in sort of this old radio format. Like, let's just sit around and dish. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, I think they all kind of want to be Howard Stern show. I don't know what they're doing, but I think it's garbage a lot of the times. So in many, and I consume, like a lot of people consume, that it's like, at the end of the day, like, it's called the Atlanta Podcast, but you and I could talk about football. And if it's funny and interesting and engaging and people like you or me or both, or they agree or disagree, it can be good, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
And I really think this is a good chance to talk and focus on a lot of cool Atlanta stuff. I'm way ADD over this way, right? So so she's saying me too. Should I not say that out loud? I'm sorry. Were you trying to keep that a secret?
If listening to TV so that I can make art isn't ADD, I don't know what is.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is we're figuring this out together.
Great.
Because you're on episode like 10 or 11 or 12 or 15 or whatever you end up being.
Yeah.
You're in the first whatever of conversations.
Awesome. It's an honor. Thank you very much.
No, cool. You were recommended, and I've thought about it. And I want to tell you, I guess before I forget, because I probably will, I've actually put together a race around the whole Beltline.
Uh-huh.
Starting in my neighborhood in the West End and then going over like trains and tracks and illegal parts and a lot of cool stuff. And I forget what my city looks like because I'm in it all the time. And people come to this race from the suburbs and from Alabama.
Yeah.
And they take pictures of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what they often take pictures of? Almost every time.
The skate park.
No, I'm saying. So I'm trying to like share with you that.
Thank you. And that's something that I found really interesting and humbling in the last 3 years. If you go on Instagram and you search the hashtag tiny doors, there are 2,500 posts. But if you go on Instagram and search the hashtag TinyDoorsATL, there are 12,000. That's how much Atlanta and tourists engage with this project. That we have 10,000 more with extra letters.
Right, because typically it's the other way around.
Right. I'm like, really, the ATL? You know, and people really stay on it. It's not as though it's been... There have been brands that have advertised clothing using the hashtag a little bit, but they kind of get tired of it. It's really just pictures of the doors and how people interact with them. And I look at it every day. I mean, I really monitor it and I try to like every single one that's at all related to the project.
So if people hashtag you, you're going to see
it.
You're going to like it.
I am Tiny Doors
ATL on Instagram. And do they usually write you back and say thank you? Or sometimes?
Sometimes. I can't promise that I check all the messages.
Oh, okay.
We have 30,000 followers now and I try.
Right.
But I can't keep on the Facebook, the Instagram, and the email all the time.
Very difficult.
So Instagram, I don't as much. But I do see all the posts.
So let's back up to you giving this to Atlanta and the world.
Okay.
And what you're...
So I want to say that I don't think of it as a gift, and I didn't think of it as a gift when I started it. I really think of it as a conversation, and that's what I was trying to do. Was I love the conversation that's already happening in Atlanta, with and without me, and I wanted to join it. And that's it. I was like, okay, what if I try this? What if I make a door that looks like the tunnel? You know, I mean, the outside was cement. It had graffiti on it. I used a found rock near the tunnel. I usually do that. I for the steps, will use something I find the day of installation to keep it authentic and to keep that risk involved. So it really looked like the Krog Tunnel. I put it there and I was like, okay, it's the Krog Tunnel. Anything can happen. It's going to get painted over. It's going to get whatever's going to happen.
Some model's going to kick it.
But I'm going to, right. But I'm going to see it, you know, so I'll know. And nothing happened. Just nothing. Put it in July, August, September, October.
Nothing as in no posts?
No. No hashtags. I made a post. I pretended that I found it.
Wow.
The post is still hilarious when I look back on my Instagram.
Are you embarrassed?
Slightly, but I put it in my TEDx talk. I have to just own that moment.
Oh, my TEDx? Excuse me.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm not trying to drop it. I just like...
No, I'm very impressed.
No, it's just that I'm trying to own that embarrassment. I was trying different ways and I really didn't want to... I don't want to be the voice of who lives behind the tiny doors. I am just an artist who's creating work in Atlanta. So... At first, I was like, well, I'll do it anonymously, you know, and I was like, look at this tiny door I found at the tunnel. Use the hashtag and then just left it alone. And I was right. Like, nobody cared. And nothing happened for 4 months. And then one day I was driving, I was working as a nanny. And I had applied, I'd been offered an art teaching position, but decided to nanny instead because it paid the same and I could focus on getting something else off the ground, even if it was just an hour a day while he took a nap. It still was an hour a day. So I was driving to work and I saw a bunch of tiny cats, like 8 or 9, outside the door, lined up as though they were waiting to be fed. Like one was on the stoop and the rest were all facing the door. I can give you pictures. It's really funny. So I got out, I took a picture and I left it. And I just went to work. I was like, okay, well, that's different. I thought it was going to get painted over, but instead somebody like thought about it and brought cats. And then about a week later, there was a tiny cardboard box that said Flying Biscuit on it. And somebody left a tiny box of biscuits. And then it was Halloween. And I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to make something and put it in front of the door. So I made some tiny pumpkins and walked down to the Krog Tunnel, some tiny little jack-o'-lanterns. And there were already two. I know. So I took mine home. I was like, fine.
Did you cry? Did your hair stick up on end?
No, I just went, okay, Atlanta, okay. You know, oh, it's the toilet again. Then it was, I think, November, and I was driving to work, and I saw a white piece of paper out in front of the door. So I stopped. I got out, and it was a tiny newspaper about the tiny door. It was a tiny Atlanta Journal-Constitution about the door itself. It was like the Krog Street Tunnel, something, something.
Right.
I still have it. And that was the day I opened the Instagram.
Right. Because you were like, we're onto something.
What if I open the Instagram? Because this hadn't been done before. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. It's like, Fairy Doors of Ann Arbor doesn't have an Instagram. This is, who am I and why am I opening this? So I just started Tiny Doors ATL just to like kind of post the things I found or the process or little hints or something. So I posted about that. And then it's all kind of history from there. But that was how it started. It wasn't people painting it over like I thought it would be. You know, now they do. Now that there are 11, they see their fair share of vandalism. The Rainbow Door gets homophobic graffiti like twice a year.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't even post about it because I don't want to give it that
right.
gravity.
Right.
But it does hurt my heart a little bit as a queer woman to like see that and have to sit in front of it and scrub it off. Like that is hard. And that's why when I do the fundraising for Tiny Doors, I have it be community fundraising. So I could write grants. And I could write big grants to fund this project. And I try sometimes, but what I prefer to do is get $25 increments from the people of Atlanta. You know, go, I'll make a tiny book with your name on it for $25. And people tell me I'm crazy to do it like that.
Because?
But I do it so that they are literally invested in this project and so that I can feel it.
But why are you crazy to do it that way?
Because it's a lot of work. It's a lot more work.
Than $25 work, you mean? It's, like you should charge more?
No, it's more work to do $325 increments than to write one grant.
Right.
Like 300. Right now I'm making almost 400 tiny books.
Because that's the current project.
Because that was the fundraiser. And I did it 18 months after the first fundraiser. So that is those like sitting in front of a door that's been vandalized that says something like proud question mark over my rainbow. Or just a giant X was the last one. Remembering that the paint I'm using was bought with money from people who support this project, from
right.
people who I'm seeing biking by on the Beltline, literally support this project, really keeps me going in those moments of like, oh my God. So kind of jumped from the beginning to where we are now, but that's why I fundraise the way that I do.
Can you tell me like off the top of your head where the others are?
Yeah. I tend not to rattle off this list. I don't have it memorized, but I'll do it. Door one is at the Krog Tunnel.
Okay.
Door two is on the Beltline near the old Fourth Ward skate park.
Right.
Door number three is in Inman Park, outside Inman Park Pet Works. Has a little dog door. Door number four is down for repair, but it's going back as the tiny library at Little Shop of Stories in Decatur. Door number five has been retired for 18 months now. It's still looking for a home because it was vandalized so much that I just couldn't keep it up. Door number six is outside Paris on Ponce on the Beltline. Door seven is outside Karis Books and Little Five Points. Door number eight is outside Milltown Arms in Cabbage Town. Door nine is outside King of Pops in Inman Park near the Beltline. Doors 10E and 10W are in Grant Park. And door number 11 is at Center for Puppetry Arts. And now you see why when people ask me on the Beltline to name where all the doors are, I don't do it.
You could have a flashcard.
Well, there's a website. There's an interactive Google map, so it's pretty easy to find.
I live on the West End.
Mm-hmm.
They just put in a bunch of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get one?
Guess where door number 12 is.
I'm...
Door number 12 is going underneath Lucky Street on the Beltline Trail.
Lucky Street?
Mm-hmm. Or no, Lucy? Let me see.
Yeah, Lucky's downtown.
Nope, not Lucky. Door number 12 is...
Lucille?
Going under Lucille.
Lucille is... I think I know exactly where that is. Let's look at the map together, shall we?
Let me just look at my email from the Beltline because it will have... I applied to do another door in Reynoldstown. And not all of my doors are done with grants, not even close. but I apply to do one every year with Art on the Beltline. Yeah, there it is.
Can I see?
Yeah, okay, so that's on Lucille. So I'm speaking at Kipps Drive Academy tomorrow.
I know that school.
Yeah, because they have a view of the door. So, yeah, Lucille.
No, but I wanted you to pull up the map so we could...
Oh, yeah.
So I can get some bearings.
Yeah. So while I'm doing that, I'll tell you what happened with the Beltline grant. So I applied to do one behind my studio, which is on the East Side Extension Trail.
Right.
And they were like, congratulations, you have the grant. And I said, great, can't wait. And they said, here's your location. It's underneath Lucille in a tunnel on the west side. I said, no. And they were like, but it's a great location. And I said, no. And so then they said, please go look at it and then make a decision. And I said, no, because I'm not on the west side and it needs to be somewhere that I can maintain and somewhere that I can get to know the neighborhood. And I only had 2 months before this door was supposed to go up.
Right.
And I don't put doors up without thought, without right. getting to know a neighborhood and talking to the neighbors and getting to know the architecture. Because otherwise it doesn't look or feel like yours. And then why do you care? So now I'm doing a power get to know the west side where I asked the Beltline to pay me to go speak for free to the schools, at the Kipp Academy locations that are nearby so that I can ask the students in person, what's your neighborhood about? What does your door look like? Why does this matter to you? And how can I help this art reflect your neighborhood? Because the last thing I want to be in this world is a white lady who comes into your neighborhood and pretends she knows what your neighborhood's about. Like, you tell me.
Have you been up and down that stretch at all?
Yeah.
So you've seen the cool rat tunnel? You wouldn't miss it.
I wouldn't miss it. No, I haven't seen
it. All right, I'll have to pull it up and show you. So there was this...
Bless you.
There was this huge man that was on the side of a building, and they replaced him with some cool design, and I saw the guy painting it, and he seems nice enough. So people know, so Lucille... Whoa... is so Kipp Academy is there, so it's a little past what is this, MLK? What the heck is this? I should know what this is. I live here. What is this big road? Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I don't know what this is.
That is that the Beltline?
No, this big road is Ralph David Abernathy, or as we call it, RDA.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
So they replaced the man, and I was kind of bummed out about it because I was like, oh, the cool man. He was there for a long time, but you know, he was commissioned. His name's David, whoever he was. It's nice enough. But then there's this amazing, I got to pull it up on your phone because it's somebody has to have pictures of it. I'm just going to put Rat Tunnel West End.
Okay.
A lot of thought went into it, and if it's gone, I'll be super bummed. Maybe they'll make something better. Who knows? Rat Tunnel West.
Do you like my bling phone?
I'm just
like so full of sparkles.
Super trying to type and. Can you hit enter? I think I'm hit enter wrong.
Yeah. This is.
By the way, super exciting for the listener. To hear
us playing with a phone.
Can you just put it into Google and not on the map? Sorry.
Yes.
So once you pull it up, you would have known if you saw it.
Yeah, I have not seen it.
Oh,
so
you're a swiper.
Yeah.
I am not a swiper. Just put West End Atlanta and see if it comes up. I'm really hoping it does. Those of you at home, you can play along with us. Yep, there we go. Oh. What happened? It was one of the first ones when you typed it. That.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's a rat going up a ladder. You can't even see it that well, but it's going into a plug. There's a plug and a foot.
So I love that because that is playing with scale. You know, it makes you feel like you're the size of a rat.
right.
to go through a tunnel with a giant rat next to it with a ladder. And, right. you know, and that is kind of what I do, is I play with scale as an equalizer. So everyone's too big to fit in a tiny door. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we all kind of interact with it the same way. We can take pictures with it. We can, you know, it can engage our imaginations. You can think that it's nothing, however you want, but we're all too big for it. And it's free and it's public. And a thing that I don't talk about as much as I'd like to about this project is that it's all accessible, physically accessible, and also wheel accessible. So if you're going in a stroller or a wheelchair, I try to make sure that you could reach all of them. I don't put them at the top of staircases. I don't put them behind any kind of paywall. You don't have to pay admission.
Right.
And my commitment is to keeping them accessible, which is more, it presents a lot of challenges because people want to put them at schools. They want to put them in, you know, nature trails and, you know, people talk to me about Doll's Head Trail, and that's awesome. I love Doll's Head Trail. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is the most recent door is at the Center for Puppetry Arts. And they have, the only way to get in is up a giant ramp. It's, I think, a two-story ramp. That's their entrance. Everyone goes up this ramp. So that
it's new. They recently redid their whole thing, right?
I don't know. As long as I've lived here, it's been like that.
Oh, I thought they just went through a whole... Anyway,
as long as I've gone. But this ramp is fantastic. And so I made a tiny wheelchair ramp. It might be the world's first tiny wheelchair ramp that's outside. And it is a cement wheelchair ramp that leads to the door. And it's outside and everyone can go and you can race matchbox cars up it or whatever you want. But you could get to it by wheelchair. And that's something that I try to make sure is that they're all accessible. And these are things that came about as the mission of the project expanded, you know. But that's something that's super important to me, too, is that commitment to making sure everyone has access to this project. So on the west side, we already know the location. It's accessible by anyone who's on the Beltline.
So it's going to be down there, like mm-hmm.
On a bridge.
On because there's another bridge right now. There's like a rainbow.
That's the one. Okay. It's on the rainbow bridge.
So that's just past. So that rat tunnel, mm-hmm. another quarter mile down the way is the rainbow one.
Okay. So it's the rainbow bridge that is visible from Kip Strive Academy.
Right. And I know exactly where that is.
Yeah.
Because now I can see the school and there's a street belt line. So they're going to have to come up with different names because they built something called the Beltline.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the actual trail, which, you know, as you saw even in that photo, it used to be dirt and they've converted. Right. So I don't know what they're going to do, but.
I don't know. Luckily, I just have to think about tiny, tiny things.
Right. So when you think about wanting to maintain it and know about the neighborhood, mm-hmm. does this mean you don't want it to expand further or you do?
I do. I just want it to be slow and deliberate. One of the things I've learned from sitting on the Beltline and listening to people, like I have this awesome advantage of being able to I have to sit there and watch paint dry for hours. So I sit and work and I listen to people talk to each other about tiny doors. They'll be like, oh, that's the tiny doors lady. She does these doors. They're all over Atlanta. They're everywhere. And I'm like, okay, they take up 20 square feet. That's as much as the table we're sitting at. My artwork literally takes up as much space as this table. So this half of the table.
Right.
So how is it everywhere? Well, it's not literally everywhere, not even close. So what are they tapping into? What's making most people who describe the project say everywhere? And it's social media, it's conversation, it's all these other things. Because at first I was totally offended by people saying everywhere. I'm like, but I don't want to, and I wouldn't do that. And
right.
I'm not trying to impose tiny doors on Atlanta.
I'm not McDonald's.
Right. I'm not everywhere. And then I was like, oh, I need to embrace that.
Mm.
And understand that if people already feel like it's everywhere, I can go slowly. I can move deliberately through Atlanta and curate really thoughtfully. So yes, I absolutely want to expand to the West Side, but I only wanted to do it with the input and at the request of the West Side. So now the only way to get a tiny door is through an application. and through a long process of getting to know a neighborhood. And that, I think, is why they're successful, mostly, is because they're at the request of the neighborhood. It's not going to be a giant surprise. When a door comes to your neighborhood, it's going to be because your neighbors asked for it.
I think when you come to the West Side, we're going to go nuts. You're going to get everybody all... Because people
are... Grant Park had a parade.
Whoa. We should work on that.
You got like three
Because it you know, the West Side has a long way to go to mm-hmm. become the East Side. And we will never become the East Side.
Why would you want to be the East Side?
We don't. And that's... Right, that's,
exactly.
That's another conversation for another time. But I can tell you that when the cement, I've been running on that thing. Give my shout out to my buddy Clayton. My buddy Clayton and I have been running on this thing for 3 years, and it's been dirt. And we're kind of a little bummed out because our little slice of heaven has become, and you know, Angel, I'm sure. Angel, the Beltline guy, rides his bike everywhere. He's been riding up and down it as much as he could for the last 3 years. Anyway, so part of me is a little disappointed, but what's cool is that it is a... If you build it, they will come. And every day now, not a ton, but there are runners and joggers and people mm-hmm. with their dogs. And it's still new enough that I wave to every single one. And everybody kind of knows that's what's going on. Like, everyone knows, like, when they wave, it's like, yeah, because we're the first ones out here doing this. You know what I mean? And we probably should.
This is our section.
And maybe one day we stop and talk to each other. Maybe we don't, right? But just the fact that we're all out here... Hey, how's it going? You know, people ask me, like, a woman got on the other day and was like, where's Ashview Heights, whatever. I'm like, you got to go that way. But the fact, I think people are going to stop and start posting about it like crazy. If you would like, free of charge, I will happily send you weekly photos because
yes,
I will be...
That's another thing that I do is I have a card that I give people that I run into who regularly go by the doors.
And they keep you updated.
And they send me photos. And my heart kind of drops when I get photos from numbers I don't know. Because I'm like, oh God, what happened now?
Right.
But it's been pretty good.
How about, I would give an email address. I'm not sure I'd be giving out my
texty phone number. It's just to people that I see a lot when I'm working. There's a couple called Jack and Diane who walk their Westies near Tiny Door 10W.
Right.
And I gave them my card.
Well, I'm literally on that thing multiple times a week, and I will happily...
Yes, send me photos, and that's something that I rely on. The other thing I rely on is Instagram. When something awful happens to a door, I can pretty instantly see it on Instagram. Or there used to be a rock underneath door number 6 that would get moved. It was like people needed to move it and turn it around. I never have understood why. But they would flip it. And I would see it start to move on Instagram. I would see that it was, somebody would post a picture and I'd be like, that's not the right spot. And then the next picture a few hours later, it would be a little bit, and I would just drive to the Beltline and fix it. It's like, there are so many photos that I can keep a pretty close eye. And then there are people on weekends who will go see all of them and post photos, and that's awesome.
So there's a tour?
No, people just do it. There's a...
That's what I mean. They just choose to...
Yeah, they just go do it. I have never led a all the doors tour. Sometimes when charities ask me to donate something and I really want to donate, I'll donate a walking tour where I'll lead a group of people. That's a pretty good give. I think it's a good way that I can contribute my time, you know, to helping an organization out.
I think that's cool. I do want to ask you, because we were just getting into the flow of the doors, so I didn't want to stop. But now I will ask you, because you're a bass player, who were your bass playing heroes growing up?
Sarah Lee, Bootsy Collins.
That's it? End of list?
That's it.
I do not know who Sarah Lee is.
All of the Motown bassists. Every single one.
I do not know who Sarah Lee is, though.
Sarah Lee has toured. She's kind of on the Lilith Fair circuit. She played for Ani DiFranco. She played for Indigo Girls. She's kind of a... 90s to today touring working bassist who just really nails it. She's done a lot of live albums. So I grew up listening to her.
Okay. And then all the Motown people.
All the Motown people. I wanted to play on flat wound strings, which are... So round wound strings means that you wrapped a round cable, a round wire, around straight wires. And you made a string, like most guitar strings are like that. And they're kind of a bouncier tinnier sound. And then flat wound strings are what you would find on an upright bass. You wrap a flat wire around round straight wires and you get the like sort of thumpy low sound. I wanted to play flat wound because that's what all the Motown bassists played.
Right.
That's how they got that unique sound. But my jazz punk band was like, no, that's just adjust your pedals or whatever.
Did you see, is it 50 feet from stardom, 25 feet from stardom? Did you see that?
No.
It's about all the background voices. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the backup singers from Motown and the like. It's pretty fascinating.
That's really cool. I really, really should watch
it. I think it's called 50 Feet from Stardom.
Yeah.
But seems maybe it's 10 feet. They're not very far behind.
They're not that far.
Maybe it's 3 feet from stardom.
Yeah. So I love playing bass.
You still play bass?
I have it in my studio and I will pick it up on occasion, but I did exactly what I wanted to do.
Right. You want to do like a lightning Atlanta round? I've been thinking about doing this and I never remember, but I've remembered now. You want to do it?
What is it?
I just ask you a bunch of questions about Atlanta.
And I
answer
as best I can.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with, what is your favorite Waffle House meal?
My favorite Waffle House meal. A pecan waffle, 2 eggs scrambled with cheese, and a small order of crispy hash browns.
Very specific. You can hang with me anytime because you're clearly a Waffle House fan. What is your favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
My favorite place to eat in Atlanta is Java Jive.
Okay, where is that?
It's on Ponce.
Next to?
It's about a block from Chipotle.
It sounds like a coffee place.
It's the best breakfast place. I have a top three. I'm a breakfast girl.
Let's go.
Dinner doesn't really matter.
Okay, let's go with the top three breakfasts.
I'm a breakfast girl. So if you were like, let's go to breakfast.
Right.
Number one, Java Jive.
Okay.
Totally. It's not crowded. We can hide from Atlanta and enjoy like the best food. Number two, Rhea's Bluebird.
Okay.
It's near my house. I love Rhea's. The staff is great. The food is great. It takes longer to get seated. It's kind of always crowded.
Right.
Java Jive, you can always get seated, which makes it my number one. Number three, Homegrown. And luckily I live in the breakfast district.
I was going to say all those spots
are right next to my house.
I would put Homegrown in the top three for sure.
Love Homegrown. If you've got a party, a larger party, Homegrown, Java Jive.
Interesting.
Like if I'm going out with like six people, Homegrown.
Okay. So do you even have a favorite dinner spot?
Victory Sandwich Bar.
Mm.
Yeah, popcorn, alcohol. See, not a dinner girl. I kind of don't care.
Interesting. Least favorite thing about Atlanta, and you can't say the traffic.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. okay. My studio's in my house. It's, traffic is...
Right. But people always say that, so I have to...
Oh, least favorite thing about Atlanta. It is, I think... The fact that I can't buy a house, the fact that we already, my partner bought the house that we live in. It's doubled in value because it's on the Beltline that's coming through. And I want a yard and I want a room so I can foster kittens. And I want more space and I can't have it because Atlanta has inflated the housing prices so much that we're stuck. So I really don't like that. Not enough to leave because there's so many things that I really love, but boy, is that annoying.
I concur.
It's a deep complaint, but it's real.
Where can folks find all about you and Tiny Doors?
I mean, tinydoorsatl.com is pretty good. It's pretty good. It's kind of not as well kept secret that I am Tiny Doors ATL. You know, people will come up and be like, oh my gosh, I love the work that you guys do. I'm like, thanks. I'm all the guys. but, I mean, I have friends who have been involved since the beginning. My friend Sarah has been involved since the beginning. She's kind of my chief advisor. And I have a friend who teaches social media classes who tells me that once every 12 posts, I need to do my own face. And I fight her.
Is it Manu?
Yes. I love her. She's so hard on me. She's really improved my game.
She's on the list for me to speak to. I think she recommended you.
She's so, so good to talk to. The day I met her, I was like, yes, I need to maintain a friendship with this person. So she really pushes me hard. And she's like, you need to tell the story and you need to admit that you are the whole project. And I'm like, but it's for Atlanta. It's about Atlanta. I don't want it to be about me. She's like, it's not going to be. It's already way too far ahead for that.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, great. But I still don't need, I don't need it. My people are like, well, I hope this project is rewarding enough for you. And I'm like, you can't even imagine how rewarding this is. All I have to do is stand on the Beltline for 5 minutes and it's rewarding. I just watch people take pictures. I hang out sometimes. I put my hair up, though.
And not wear a shirt that says Tiny Doors ATL.
Yeah, and I just watch people take pictures or listen to people talk about it. Or, you know, it's so rewarding that I don't need to be the center of attention and I don't want to be. So, you know, that's something about this project that's a little bit of a puzzle that I'm still figuring out. Manu is trying to push me more to the front, but I'm stubborn.
All right. Well, I think we're good.
Okay.
I think this was a great first chat. Are you getting a super important text?
No.
Okay.
No.
You keep eyeballing your phone there, so I'm trying.
Yeah,
I'm trying
there's nothing to see. It's maybe a compulsion.
Right.
I'm just kind of looking at the time.
Right. Okay.
No, this is great. And I really, you know, I can talk about Tiny Doors all day, and it's good to be pushed outside of my box because there's only so much I know about football.
Right. All right, dude. Up top.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And there you have it. As I mentioned, we've got tons already in the can. We've got lots of folks we want to speak with. If you've got someone you think should be on this show, let me know. Maybe it's you. I don't know. But yeah, stay tuned. There's going to be tons of stuff going on, social media-wise, website-wise. We'll get into all that. And you never want to wait until it's perfect. You just want to get everything out there. So that's what we're doing. Here it is. Love you, miss you, mean it. I've got to run.